Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we've finally brought Birmingham's best ever band back to Birmingham! Ali, Astro, woo! Mickey from UB40 are back, everyone!
Yeah, we are.
So it'll be taking us 4 years to get you three here, and finally you're here this morning. Thank you so much.
It's great to be back in grimy old Brum.
Oh, Ali!
There's nothing grimy about Brum.
No, I'm saying I love Birmingham's grime. Thank you very much.
Your roots.
Well, Ali, see, because you've been in Jamaica for a few years.
No, I'm living down in Christchurch, down
but
south.
But before that, you're in Jamaica for how long?
Oh, I spent sort of 17 years on and off in Jamaica.
So comparing Birmingham to Jamaica, what's the pros and cons?
Well, it's a bit grim here for me. I have this...
Ali, don't do this, because we've had so many Brummies telling us and pleading with us to get you back on the radio.
No, what I mean is that the weather, you know, I love Brummies. And I love Birmingham. Birmingham made me, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of Birmingham, etc. But it's just I have the seasonal adjustment disorder. And, you know, come the winter months, I get that depressed thing.
You want to get one of them special lamps that you can buy now?
Well, now I'll move to Jamaica instead.
What? You know? Yes.
That's the way I dealt
with it. It's a bit more expensive,
Ali. Yeah, we can't all do that.
No.
Well,
Astro, you're still in Birmingham?
Yes, I certainly am. Love Brum. Wouldn't move for the world.
Mickey?
Yeah. I still don't want to be a southern softie.
So it's good for you. How long have you three been back together as a band now?
Since last December, Astro came back to the fold, and Mickey and I have been going around for 5 years promoting reggae as we always have.
Yeah.
And then Astro.
I was going to say that's my first question: is why the three of you back together now? What happened?
Well, basically, that's down to Astro.
I'd basically had enough. With the last album that the other side was doing, which was a country album.
Yeah. Oh, I remember talking about this now, yeah.
Yeah, so it was just like I just didn't get it, and I just wasn't feeling it. And the hardest thing for me was to try and convince my mates that what was coming up with would work.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never had to do that. I've never had to try and convince friends if something's good. And I honestly couldn't stand on stage looking at night after night and trying to pretend that everything was all right.
I've got to be honest, Astro, I can see you with a cowboy hat on. I think a bit of
Astro Unchained.
If I had a pound for every time I've heard that, I'd have a quid.
Was there a fallout then, or was it just musical stuff, or was there a genuine fallout? And
well, no,
there was a fallout between us.
Yeah. No, we never fell out. It was I fell out with the management of UB40 and. You know, it took me 4 years of having problems with the management before I decided I'd leave. In fact, I didn't decide I'd leave on my own. I always used to go to my brother Duncan, who's 10 months older than me. I used to go and moan to him, you know. He'd had dealings with our management as well because he'd looked after a snooker hall for Robin. He said to me, my advice to you, Ali, would be to down tools, you know, and then they'd have to give you what you're entitled to, you know, the information that you're looking for. So I took his advice and I downed tools and he jumped in my place.
He took your tools?
He did. He took my tools, yeah.
And
so
the
there
coffin.
You go. I mean, you couldn't write that, could you? Well, that's exactly what happened.
No, so what's the next conversation? When you realise that he's picked up your tools...
Hang on, this sounds really wrong. Especially with brothers as well.
When he picked up the reins...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's better.
So what was the next conversation with him like? I mean,
I haven't talked to him since. It was very acrimonious, as you can imagine. You know, when he told me over the phone, he phoned me up drunk and said, I'll take you to your place, Ali. And I went, well, I can't stop you, mate, you know, but I'm very disappointed. And that was the last time I spoke to him.
Let's have a bit of a nostalgia trip then, for sort of younger fans, you know, because you get people coming through the door all the time. How did it all start for you? Where was, like, your old haunts and how did you all get together?
Well, half of us are from Borstal Heath in South Birmingham, and half of us were from Acox Green and surrounding areas, Small Heath. So we're from the wrong side of the tracks, guys. And we got together because we were all unemployed in 1979. You know, we were a product of Thatcher's Britain. And
not
we were
all of us.
Not all of us. Mickey had a job.
Mickey had a
Mickey
job.
Had
what
a
were
job
you doing, the Mickey? What were you doing at the time, Mickey?
Working for local government. Boo. Boo. Boo.
I had a job in an accountant's office up in Moseley. And some of the other band members had jobs as well, but in order to do what we wanted to do, we all had to go on the dole.
Well, we were thrown off the dole, weren't we, Mickey? Mickey, together with me, went and worked at Cadbury's on nights 7 weeks before we made our first single.
Really?
What did you do at Cadbury's?
Make chocolate.
Chocolate.
We've never been. We've never been.
Yeah, I was with you on that.
I always wonder what that big purple factory was, but is that what it is, right?
Yeah, it makes chocolate, and that's what we did for approximately 7 weeks. We were thrown off the dole and threatened with a rehabilitation centre in Henley and Arden, which is where you went to, you know, learn how to make brooms and stuff, to sort of rehabilitate you, I suppose.
Yeah, well, I've been working at Cadbury's for about 8-9 months, and I finally cost them too much money. I tipped over a couple of really expensive cocoa butter and closed off two sections of the factory. You know what I mean? I'd done that about 5 times, and in the end, they've just gone, "Listen, mate, this ain't for you.
It's not for you, is it?"
And it's just as well that these guys come along, otherwise, I'd still be there now.
So, when did you know you were starting to make it? Where was it, like, your first gig? That was at the Hare and Hounds, was it? Or
it was. It was a Hare and Hounds in King's Heath.
No, it wasn't. It was on the back of a truck in
Mosley.
Oh,
the very first one was the Mosley Village. The Mosley Festival on the back of a lorry, where we just went round falling over, basically, to our own music. And then the first proper show was a girl's party, a girl called Sue Varty, so it was the Varty Party. It was the Varty Party, and we were... that was our first show, and the first time we went through a PA system and all that. That was in 1980. And... that was the first gig, and then we'd only done up sort of a dozen gigs when Chrissy Hynde then saw us in the Rock Garden in London and invited us on her tour, and she was number one at the time.
Yeah.
Then we released a single that went to number four, and we haven't looked back since, really.
You sell 100 million albums or whatever the number is. It's just astronomical. Do you remember the first things you bought when the checks started to come through? Was there, like, one first sort of extravagant buy any of you made?
A sleeping bag.
Now, at the time, we were travelling to gigs in the back of a Luton van, and only Mickey had a sleeping bag. Now, Astro had a big sheepskin coat, so he shared his sheepskin coat with his brothers.
Because that's the kind of guy.
Could we get Mickey Virtue to unzip his sleeping bag and to share it with us while we're crouched, covered in newspapers, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and the wheel arches were rotten, so the slush
coming through, wasn't it? Yeah, and it was freezing, and Mickey was the only one warm.
And when
we
asked him, what did you say, Michael? Get your own sleeping bag.
That's what you said, Mickey. Yeah, he did.
That scarred us for life.
Yeah.